Let me just start very simply. If you do not require people to buy health insurance, those who are young and healthy will tend not to do so until they get sick and need it. Now, that means that you will have initially in your pool of people who purchase insurance voluntarily those who are higher cost. This will raise insurance rates, and that's what's known as adverse selection problems. And if you don't mandate that everybody has to buy it, it is impossible to enforce one of the other important aspects of the health care reform bill, which is that insurance companies must cover pre-existing medical conditions. And also, as a corollary to this, that they cannot drop you if you get sick, which is a problem right now, not for those of us who work for large institutions that buy group insurance for the whole bunch of employees, but for anybody who's out there in the individual market purchasing insurance just for themselves or for their family.
What will this do to insurance rates if more people are buying? Will it bring down the cost of buying insurance, or will insurance companies, by having to pay out more benefits to more people, perhaps have to charge more?
Well, let's go back to the question of the pool. If you've got everybody in the pool, then you wouldn't charge more than if you had only those who were your less desirable clients, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because what insurance companies do is they take on risk and they assess risk by averaging over the whole pool their expected payouts based upon experience with the group. Now, for those of us, the majority of Americans who have jobs with health insurance coverage, I should say the majority of well-educated upper-middle-class people like you and me who work places where we have insurance coverage, the fact that it's group coverage already deals to a large extent with the selection problem. For us, nothing's going to happen.
What will this mean to the exchanges, the health, the states have to create their own exchanges so people can buy this health insurance? Some states have done so, some states have not so far.
Okay. For this to work, in other words, to be able to take individuals and put them into groups that would be, you know, sort of almost like if they were in an employment group, the states have to set up mechanisms whereby insurance companies can form groups from the individual market, for those who are self-employed, not employed, whatever. So the non-elderly, the non-Medicare, non-employed with employer-based insurance will go into these exchanges. Okay, the states have to do this, and this requires their willingness to do so. And what I said to Jeff earlier this morning was that if you've got some particular some states that are what I'd call red states that really hate this whole idea and are not willing to set up the or implement the machinery, then there's going to be problems. There may be delays. There may be real problems in enforcing. One way to get around this, which is, I think, built into the possibilities under the 2,800 pages, of which I must admit I have not read completely, is that you could have cross-state exchanges that, you know, particularly the less densely populated states, Montana, for instance, comes to mind. You may have to put several states together.
So will some states with the lower populations have not have as many people and therefore won't get a better deal from these insurance companies?
It's hard to imagine any state in the United States having so small a population that it would be adversely affected in this kind of way. I do not know because, you know, this hasn't been set up yet. We haven't seen how it works. Now, look, the whole bill that was upheld by the Supreme Court as not being unconstitutional is flawed in many ways. And one way is it still allows all this partitioning of the insurance market, you know, by different little groups. And this means that there probably will be some problems about cost control in some areas and for some groups.
What will those groups be? In what areas, do you think?
I don't know. And I don't know how severe it'll be. If you had a place where you had very few people who weren't covered by employer-based groups, and so your market was still, you know, very, very, very thin. But I think in those cases you can combine several states. Now, you know, this has already been done in Massachusetts. The Massachusetts plan is in a sense a blueprint for the federal level one. And they've been pretty successful at getting these exchanges set up. And in general, people have experienced across the boards lower, not higher rates.
So have many people been going from other states into Massachusetts to buy through this?
No.
No.
No, no. This is for Massachusetts residents.
Right. But once this begins, if this national health care actually does take shape and, say, New York does not yet have its exchange, New Yorkers could then go.
New York is already way ahead of most other states.
Okay.
They've got all kinds of public-private combination programs, Healthy New York and other programs, so that New York is, and New York's already worked to set this up. The more progressive states, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, well, Massachusetts obviously has because they have their own program, but that's not where the problem's going to be. It's going to be in the states that are really resistant to doing this, where people are opposed to this plan, where they wanted it shot down.
Okay. Well, thank you. That should just about do it. Thank you very much for your time, Professor.
Let me tell you that on balance,
sure,
people who really have studied this much longer and more thoroughly, such as Jonathan Gruber at MIT, who helped design the Massachusetts plan and was an advisor to the Obama plan when it was being set up, are persuaded that this will not raise insurance rates, that will have quite the opposite effect. And I think it will, because you'll have broader coverage. What you're suggesting is, oh, if everybody has to buy it, the insurance companies will take advantage of this. But the only people who will be buying it who formerly were not will be those people who are now in the individual market, many of whom are just priced out and can't buy it. And I think with the exchanges, this will increase the competitiveness of the insurance market to some extent.